Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, please be seated. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we just celebrated the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus this past Friday, and obviously I spoke about the greatness of that feast, the greatness of that devotion, but I would like to continue to do so because this whole month is the month of June, the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and it's not a devotion we just practice during June and then put it aside. It's rather to reinvigorate, to refresh, to increase, to renew our devotion to the Sacred Heart. So this is the special month in which to do that. I would like to read the promises of the Sacred Heart, and they are a sermon in themselves. I'll offer a few comments along the way. And these are not just promises, my dear brethren. These are guarantees. Because when God promises, that is a guarantee. So let's keep that in mind as we go through these promises. And our Lord gives these promises to those who practice sincerely the devotion to His Sacred Heart. First, I will give them all the graces necessary for their state of life. Don't we all need a ton of graces to help us persevere? The Sacred Heart assures us that those graces will be given. Second, I will establish peace in their families. Sometimes families get torn apart. Husband against wife, children against parents, brother against sister. Jesus promises that those who practice devotion to Him will have peace in their families. Third, I will console them in all their pains and trials. Fourth, I will be their assured refuge in life, and especially in death. Fifth, I will shed abundant blessings upon all their undertakings. Do you want to succeed? In whatever regard? Practice devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He will bless your efforts. Sinners shall find in my heart an infinite ocean of mercy. And we have today's beautiful gospel, which tells Jesus why He went out to sinners, why He spent time with sinners. And He was criticized for that. You shouldn't be around those bad people. You need to be around us good people. I think there's a bit of pride in those ones who call themselves the good people. And Jesus said there will be more joy in heaven over that one sinner who repents than over the 99 who are doing all right in the spiritual life. Number 7, lukewarm souls will be rendered fervent. It's one of our biggest challenges in the spiritual life, falling into tepidity, a state of lukewarmness. And that's not a good state in which to be. But if we can draw closer and closer to the heart of Jesus, we'll catch fire. Will be enkindled with a greater love and will have a greater fervor in our lives. Number 8, fervent souls shall rise rapidly to great perfection. Number 9, I will bless those homes where the image of my heart shall be exposed and honored. Do you have the picture of the Sacred Heart prominently displayed in your homes? I hope so. And of course, the home enthronement is the best way to enthrone that picture in its place. And, of course, we don't want to leave out the Queen, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Have her picture, her image there too. And your home will be blessed because the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart are being honored in your home. I will give to priests the gift of touching the hardest hearts. Isn't that something we need very much in our priestly ministry, to reach out to those sinners who seem to be lost, for whom there seems to be little or no hope? And to help them understand about converting. Persons who propagate this devotion shall have their names inscribed on my heart, never to be effaced. And then the last promise that's often listed is the 9 First Fridays, that those who on 9 consecutive First Fridays of the month offer a communion of reparation, they will receive some very special graces that they need at the hour of death, and they will get the last sacraments if they need it. I remember one man, and you may know who he is. I'll just not mention his name. He died some 20 years ago, and he had developed problems in his life. He became even estranged from his family. He didn't practice the faith very well at all. He stayed away from church. But he had made the 9 First Fridays when he was in grade school. And the nun, I think it was his 8th grade teacher, had promised the children, if you make the 9 First Fridays, I'm going to give you a badge of the Sacred Heart. And so he received it after doing the 9 First Fridays. And he kept that badge of the Sacred Heart in his wallet. Even though he was having his problems, his difficulties, it was there in his wallet. It stayed there all the time. And when he lay dying in a hospital, a couple of thousand miles or more from here in Spokane, not just one, but 2 priests, traditional Catholic priests, came to minister to him in his last illness and death. The Sacred Heart of Jesus never fails to keep his promises. If you haven't made the 9 First Fridays, do so. And we have here posted on a placard that special promise of the Sacred Heart. Reflect on it. And of course, there's also the beautiful promise of the 5 First Saturdays, but we'll leave that for another time to reflect upon. In today's epistle, St. Paul tells us about a roaring lion that we have to fear. And as I think about this, it made me think of fathers. And today is Father's Day, so I definitely want to make a reflection upon that. Let's imagine we're living in a city where there is a zoo, and say it's a small, compact city, and word gets out the lion has gotten out. The king of the jungle, the mightiest animal in the African continent, and he is a terror. When he roars, it sends shivers down our spine. Well, imagine this lion getting out. Who would be the defender of the family? Needless to say, the father. That's especially his role, to make sure that his family is safe and secure and make sure that they're taken care of until the danger passes. That's his job. That's his God-given responsibility. And as I think of the spiritual life, It seems to me how keenly the dads have to be aware of the spiritual lion of the devil that is out there to devour who? Whom? Themselves, their wives, their children. That's who the devil is after. And St. Peter's trying to help us understand how serious this danger is. So he says, think of a roaring lion. How afraid would you be? So he's saying that's how we have to be afraid of the devil, who is so clever, so powerful, and so cunning, and who will use the world to help take children away from God. And I was thinking, you know, there's something even more to fear than the roaring lion. You know what that is? The lion that's not roaring. You see, St. Peter uses that imagery because we're terrified of a roaring lion. We can handle it if he's behind bars in a cage. But St. Peter wants us to understand how afraid we should rightly be of the devil and how he uses things. But again, if you hear the lion roaring, you're already protected because you can hear him from a distance. You have time to run. You have time to hide. You have time to protect yourself. You know what's scarier than the roaring lion is the lion that is lying in wait silently and stealthily. When a lion walks, he makes no noise. He's got padded feet, paws, I should say. And if he can sneak up on something, that thing has no chance whatsoever. So today, as we honor fatherhood, we also recognize how fathers have to protect, not just in the physical realm, and support and protect and to lead and to guide, but to watch out for those spiritual dangers that are there. And there are many stealth dangers that can be easily ignored because they're just not seen. I think back of St. Maria Goretti. She was martyred about 100 years ago. And the young man who did it wanted her to commit a sin with him. And this hero, this virgin martyr, said no. And as we read about the life of her murderer, we find out that he began to read bad books that had impurity in them. It was that stealthy lion that was coming into that boy's life, and his father didn't protect him. And he kept on reading more and more bad books. It began to fuel the fire of lust and anger and indecency in him. And he had already tried to commit sin with St. Maria Goretti. And she said, no, that's a sin. We can't do that. We'll go to hell, Alessandro. And it just got worse. If only that young man had been protected from the lion. It was, in this case, it wasn't a roaring lion. It was a silent lion, and who sprang on that boy and devoured him. So we have a challenge in the world we live in. And I believe our young people, indeed all of us, have even more avenues for silent lions to creep up on us. And we have to be so vigilant. Parents, you have to know what your children are reading, what kind of video games they're playing. things of this nature, making sure they're not exposed to anything that's going to hurt their souls. And of course, they'll have to grow up and make the right decisions on their own. But while they're in their innocent state, to protect them and to help them to build up all the strength that they need. So our prayers are with you, dads, as they're being specially remembered at Holy Mass today. Let us thank God for fatherhood. What a wonderful gift that is. It's existed eternally. The Father begets the Son. And then in time, the Son had a foster father, Jesus Christ. And then God, the Father, shares His fatherhood with all dads. And we pray that they can fulfill that marvelous, wonderful role of being fathers, of leaders, guides, protectors. God bless you, dads, especially today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.